Wonderful. Welcome, everybody, to Creating Cash Flow Coaching for May 9th, 2022. I will say for the purposes of the recording that this is Miata, and I am stepping in for Christine today for today's Creating Cash Flow session. So we are going to dive right in with you, Regina. You sent in a question. Now, you are a cash flow cat, and I happen to know that you have two businesses, but the business today that your question is regarding is the business where you manage your parents' home as a rental, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So here was your question. The category of your question is communication. And you have some guests who were staying in the house and they extended their stay. But when they extended their stay, they did not see that the price was higher for those next 2 months. And so now they're asking why their payment due is higher. You feel that you have to honor the original price when they booked, but then you have to deal with a lower payout to your parents, which is something that you're not looking forward to. So I would love to look at two pieces to this question. And one is if we could take a little bit of time to just strategically look at your systems with regards to pricing and just look at how, what system upgrades might need to happen, that this is one of those wonderful opportunities to learn from. As someone, Regina, who I did myself run our guest house as a vacation rental for quite a few years, I think it was at least 4 or 5. In the beginning, definitely those first 12 to 18 months, there were some lessons that I simply believe we couldn't possibly know we'd have to know until we know it, right? You're going to have these experiences. And then, and I think it'll kind of have a natural segue into the communication with your parents around the fact that their payout will be lower for this period. So can you fill us in a little bit on how this happened? So these guests booked initially to be with you for how long?
From January to May. And
January
then
to May.
They had let us know that they went upon first booking, they let us know they if they got nursing contracts in San Francisco, that they may want to extend their stay a bit longer. And I kind of, you know, this is over Airbnb, so the calendar is open and I can't, you know, I explain like, well, that's great, but if you don't extend and I've blocked my calendar off now, you know, that's not a great deal for me. So I said, well, if I get interest, I'll turn off instant booking. If I get any interest, I will have time to let you know. And then if you want, at that point, you can extend your stay. And and then we'll just kind of communicate that. And so that's what happened. I got some interest and I let them know. And then they were like, okay, we've decided we're going to extend to July 10th. And so what they are able to do is go in and modify their original reservation.
Okay.
But I had already set in the calendar the rate to be higher after they were checking out of their original May checkout date.
Got it.
I thought they would see the price was different when they were modifying, but
yes.
I'm not sure what that process is like. Like, I don't know if that's clear to a guest. And so while I really don't want to go back to my parents and say, listen, it's going to be less the next 2 months because we also want a good review from these guests. I also feel like I'm pretty empathetic when we are guests and booking Airbnbs, me and my fiance, like Airbnbs, they tack on so many extra fees.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, mm-hmm. It wasn't always like that. You probably know that, Miana.
Yes.
It's so much higher for a guest now. So I'm cognizant of that, and I would like to be fair to the guests. But I also am aware I can be too nice.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to get some advice and strike a good balance between that. So yes, I'm not sure what the process is when you go into modify. If it looks clear and you get to look at the calendar to see that the prices are higher for the, because it's the summer months too. It's, you know, most of May, June and the first two weeks of July that they extended to. So that's prime time.
Yes.
No, and I do think they got, we priced it out and it's like around 5,000 or 5,200 or something a month, which for that market is actually for what you're getting, a whole house. And we had to kind of, they had a second car and they wanted to know how they would park there. And it was just simpler for us to clear out the garage and let them use the garage. So we supplied that too, which wasn't a part of the original booking, but the original offering on our listing. But anyways, yeah, I'm just trying to see what's fair and in a way that's understanding of their situation and mine at the same time.
And yours at the same time. You know, I know it doesn't feel that way, but Regina, this is a really great situation for you to be facing because it creates a number of opportunities to define the way that you want to, the way that you want to run this business, right? And how you are going to serve your guests, which every landlord, every Airbnb host has to make decisions about that and really start to define your policies. So let's look at a couple of things, because are you only renting long-term, or do you have the ability to have short-term rentals?
Just doing long-term, because if we did short-term, like less than 30 days, then mm-hmm. you have to get a business license. And I prefer to be the one running this situation, because there has been proof that might not go so well if it's in my parents' hands.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so it's long-term only, which means 30 days or more.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, perfect. So the current guests, were they really your first guests?
No,
I can't remember.
There are second guests. So
they're your second guest.
We have one good review already.
Okay, great.
They would be our second.
And what did the initial guests pay per month?
The first guests? Or
yes.
Okay, 5,000.
They paid 5,000 per month. Okay, yes. Great. So then we had the second guests who initially booked January, February, March, April. So they initially booked for 4 months.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they were offered the rate of 5,200 a month.
They, so Airbnb puts like a mandatory first, like new listing promotion.
Okay.
So it was like 5,200 with a 20% discount, which ended halfway through February.
Okay.
And so then after that, it went up to about 5,200.
Okay. It went up to 5,200. Okay, perfect.
Yes.
So then what was supposed to happen starting in May? What had you decided?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Because I've since raised it again in the calendar. But he did send me a message with, he said their original had, you know, with the modification with the $5,200 per month pricing, they would be paying $13,097 for extending the May, June, and July. Whereas he said there's been an increase. So now it says $14,180.09. So it's about $1,100 almost of an increase.
Of an increase.
Yeah.
Over the course.
May, June, July.
Of May, June, and July. So we're just going to do some super rough
it's like
math.
2.5 months, I think, or 2 months.
Okay.
May, I think from the time, because I think it was like early May they would have been checking out. So it's
okay.
Like five and a half weeks, 6 weeks.
Okay. So the rent was likely going up to about $5,700 per month. This is very rough math.
Yes, yes, yes.
Might not have gone up that much, but then Airbnb has some fees, et cetera,
yes,
and so forth, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So this is really interesting, right? Because it absolutely makes sense that the rates would be higher for the summer months,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
I believe that the challenge with long-term rentals, the challenge is that people have more of an expectation of this is the monthly rate that I'm paying, right? Which is sort of very different from when we go to book an Airbnb for 4 days or 5 days, we all sort of know if we do it off season, that's gonna cost us one thing.
Right.
And if we do it summer season, we're talking about a whole different game, right? We all kind of accept that, right?
Yeah.
So to me, what this clarifies for you, which I really want to say, Regina, there is no way you could have known this, right? There's just
you
see this forward, there's no way you would have known this. What this clarifies for you is adding some sort of language wherever it is that you are able to do that, right? That says, we love working with our guests for who would like to stay with us longer than originally planned. Please keep in mind that we, and you would work on this language, but please keep in mind that our rates do adjust seasonally so that there may be a rate adjustment up or down should you choose to extend your stay, something of that kind, or, you know, there may be a rate adjustment. The second piece would be that now you know when folks let you know that they might like to extend, you know to say, I would love that. And, right, what you did say, which is, I am happy to turn off our automatic booking, okay, to give you the courtesy of, I will reach out to you and give you the opportunity to book first. And at that point, I will also, or if you know at the point you're having the conversation, I would also just want you to be aware that our rates for the summer months are slightly higher, and, you know, you can share with them what they are. So I would want you to just be able to keep that in mind should someone else want to book the property. Okay.
Yeah.
Given that you didn't know, right? I feel this is a situation where I do feel you have options, okay? Now, one thing that I'd like you to, I think we always have to consider, is you had folks express interest, right? Mm-hmm. But that wasn't necessarily a guarantee.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I'd love for you also to, and if you know the answer, for the months of May, June, July, how many inquiries? Did you have a number of inquiries, or was it one? Do you have a sense of how busy it felt?
It was like one or two.
Okay.
One or two. It generally is less with longer term stays.
Yeah, with longer term stays. And these were folks who were interested in it for the entire summer.
It was like two of those months, like it was part of June and like most of July or something like that, or July and August. It was something like that. Yeah.
Versus, and this is the versus people who have been there January, February, March, April, 4 months.
Yeah.
And are looking to extend by a little bit more than 2 months. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we ended up having in our guest house when we were vacation renting, if that's a word, vacation renting.
I like it.
We ended up having two sets of grandparents who twice a year came for long periods.
Oh. Right?
They became our regular kind of annual staples.
Okay.
That was huge.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And even though our prices absolutely had gone up over the years, we only very slightly increased them. Why? Because knowing that we had these great tenants who were no trouble, who were all of those things, who paid, knowing we had them every year as kind of a lock-in was huge for us, right?
Yeah.
So I also believe that with a business like this, what you're doing is you're building your reputation, right?
Yes.
In terms of having a place where it is never just with rentals about having them booked solid. It is about consistency and quality of people, right?
Yeah.
So when I say that I believe you have some choices, obviously, you could say to them, yes, the summer months are at a higher rate. You know, you could do that. You could, the other side would be to say, our rates are higher during the summer months. However, given that you have been long-term, I am willing to make the adjustment to allow you to continue at the rate that you originally, because they got a very special deal, right?
Right.
That you
outside the promotion,
right,
yeah,
that you have been paying outside of the promotion. And the third option to me would be to approach them with something a little bit in between, mm-hmm. which is to say, our rental price was slated to increase for these summer months. I would so like to, I so appreciate your long-term presence, and we've loved having you, blah, blah, blah. And I would love to see if there might be an acceptable compromise. Would you consider, and then you decide sort of a midpoint, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Our prices were, you know, those inquiring about booking would be booking at this amount per month. You are currently paying this. How about if for your next 2 months you pay, and you kind of, it looks like they'd be paying like another $1,000. You look at what would 30% of that be, or 20% of that be. So a few hundred dollars, but also recognizing you don't have to do the changeover. You don't have even the possibility of one of these other ones falling through. The cost of it being empty.
Yeah.
For even 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Is a whole lot more than even if we eat $500 a month over the next couple of months, right? Mm-hmm. So first I'd like to ask you how that sounds to you and what you think could be the best step forward. And obviously I understand you want to think about it. And then we'll talk about the communication piece with your folks.
That is what clouds my, like, I totally am. I mean, if it was me, it was because I used to run my own Airbnb out of my old studio apartment, and, you know, that would be fine. Like, in the end, I think the good review is really important. I recognize that, like, there's 3 weeks in July that the house is not booked. And I know my parents they spend all this money that's coming to them. And so I'm like, what are they going to do for these 3 months?
So these 3 weeks?
These 3 weeks. Yes. Right. So I understand that, yeah, that the first, you know, July, having in a little bit of money come in till, you know, July 1st to July 10th is crucial and amazing.
Right.
And so I am fine being like, yeah, we can just honor what you've been paying.
Yes.
But, because I'm reasonable. I understand logic. I am rational. I'm not in a pain cycle.
Yeah.
But my parents are the opposite. And they're going to throw at me. But you just have, listen, you just have to explain that the rates go up in the summertime, blah, blah, blah. And I just foresee a lot of energy. I'm going to have to expel a lot of energy to try and explain this. And I'm kind of considering not saying anything. And I've gotten them to where I pay them out every week. And I'll just explain, like, no, it's just they're paying $5,200. And I think there might have been an error on Airbnb's side, because I did once send them a picture showing how much they were going to get paid out every month from these guests. So I don't know if they'll be able to find that again. Maybe not, but it's just, and don't feel bad for my parents, because we have guests that are coming in August, and they're paying $6,000, and then, you know, which is even higher, which is where we've been trying to get to. And then we just had somebody book for November to January for like $6,400. So, you know, it's increasing. So I just kind of,
don't want to deal.
It might be smarter to not say anything and just kind of fudge it. I don't know.
Well,
I know that's not a good policy, but it's.
So I want to suggest.
There's too much dysfunction here.
No, and I understand that. I want to suggest a slightly middle road here. Okay. And I'm going to pause just for a second, Regina, to say, as everyone is aware, obviously, I'm covering today, and I'm not 100% sure exactly how things are always managed. I know that I have a question also from Elizabeth, but beyond that, I'm not aware of any others. So what would be helpful for me would be if you'd pop your hands up in the, you know, the little hand symbol, just so I'm aware and can be cognizant of making sure I leave enough time to address all of the questions that we have today. But this is great, because what we're looking at, Regina, is also the critical, which is how you labeled the question, the critical aspect of communication when we are effectively in business with other people. And the concern that you have about the energy being expended, what we don't want is for you to make choices that actually then put you in a spiral of ongoing communication challenges where your parents are concerned. We know that they are challenging business partners for a variety of reasons, right? Yeah. The largest one being that you are in business effectively with people who are operating largely from the pain cycle, operating solely from emotion. And that is always, always going to be challenging. We know that, right? However, if you start being dishonest with them, openly and clearly sort of making a decision to be dishonest, there is really the significant potential that you end up expending an enormous amount of energy trying to keep the untruths going and expressed, keeping it all together, right?
Yeah.
And so what I, without failing to acknowledge its challenge, what I would love for you to continually explore along this journey is the only thing which you can control, which is your growth. Your growth as someone who is managing this property, your growth in communication, your growth in clarity, right?
Right.
And so here is what we know, and this is what I would encourage you to communicate to your parents, okay? What we know is that you have, isn't the saying a bird in the hand, right?
Mm.
You have guests who have been paying an absolutely acceptable, not the highest you can get, but I'm sure it's not the lowest, an absolutely acceptable rate, and they would like to extend. Though you have had interest expressed, there is always the risk of actually losing weeks of income.
Mm-hmm.
These folks have opted to continue. And here is what I do feel that is not a lie. It is standard practice that when folks decide to extend, that they have the opportunity to do that at their rate, right? It really is fairly standard practice with long-term rentals, right?
Yeah.
With long-term rentals. So that you simply share, great news, these guys have chosen to extend. At this point, we only have a gap here, right? There's this window that there's going to be a gap. And so again, I want to provide you with an updated breakdown of what you can expect weekly. Yes, this is slightly lower than had new guests booked at the new rate. However, it is also certain.
Yeah.
And that would be all. Then what I would consider is that the that part of your practice is going to be around the, in your loving way, not engaging in ongoing debate, right? And that part of it is going to be like, I know it's a bummer on the one hand, right? I know that if we, and good news, it's certain, right? Yeah, mom and dad, always going to be the thing with this is that we're always going to be juggling the always, and you really stress this, we are always going to be juggling the risk versus that it will be empty. It'll be empty. So I need us all, myself included, trust me, mom and dad, we all are going to have to remember that we're going to have periods where it's not even rented, right? And where we don't have anybody. And so, so I really, this is a great win. They've locked in. I, Regina, I know when it's a coach or frankly, any outsider that we always have swirling in our heads, Miata, you have no effing clue what I'm dealing with over here, right? I know that. I absolutely know that. And the good news is because as a coach, I have some of that emotional distance,
yes,
I can have an easier time seeing what is probably the path that will serve you, right? Yeah. And then you hopefully, dealing with all of what you're dealing with, you're able to only give a little bit from this sort of center path that is what we're shooting for. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I mean, some of the language you just used as an example has calmed me down. Like the word standard. This is standard. This situation and this happening, it's standard to continue the pricing. That word, I think, will help. They will understand that. They will, that may calm the emotions. Yes,
the
that
emotions.
Are gonna come up with them.
Perfect.
And you
can absolutely lean into when, as hosts, we stray from standard practice. The last thing you want is, she gave us the opportunity to extend, but conveniently failed to tell us that extending would cost us $1,000.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that absolutely happens in this world, right?
Right.
So again, I think you can think about whether you want to try for an extra couple hundred, right?
Mm-hmm.
With you going into it with the knowledge that if they say we just really can't, that you're gonna relent. But replying and saying, you know, the standard summer price is significantly higher, but I understand that jump would be excessive. Mm-hmm. Would you consider this price and, you know, make it a slight increase and see what they say?
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you so much. Wonderful
Thank
questions.
You. Thanks, everyone.
So, Elizabeth, are you able to pop on?
Yes. Can you see
Hi.
Me?
Yes, I can see you.
Good.
I am Miata. I'm not sure.
I'm nice. I have not met you yet.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. So you are, let me just pull up my notes. You are a cash flow cat.
Yeah, I waver between cat and tiger.
Okay, great.
COVID made me, yeah, anyway.
Yeah, cat, tiger, awesome. We're moving between the two. That is fabulous. You are an actor. You are a voiceover actor as well. And you are a dialect coach, right? Perfect. So your question, I loved this question. And you started by saying that you question whether your questions are relevant to the group, right? Or whether it's your own kind of mindset issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel every question, Liz, and I'm genuinely not saying this just to sort of make everybody feel okay. Every question is relevant to the group. That's why groups are so powerful, you know? But you clarified, you said that there was one session where you were the only person and you and Christine were really able to deep dive into the challenges you have specifically with ADHD. Mm-hmm. And how your challenges with ADHD affect your work and affect your money mindset. And you were so right, you said that so many people will throw around, oh, everybody's a little ADHD, right? Or that they think that ADHD is something different than what it actually is. And you don't want to be a person, you shared, who leads by announcing your ADHD as a main trait or as an identity. But, and this is the truth, there are challenges that you face. And so I would love to ask you, because you said it would be okay, would you be okay giving us a whatever feels okay in terms of a how do you feel those challenges are really affecting you or continue to affect you in the creation of your business?
Sometimes it feels like I can hyper focus and really just zoom in, and sometimes I feel like it doesn't matter how hard I try, I just have to wait it out till the attention and focus comes back. Like if I sit here and I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this for 2 hours and the focus doesn't happen, I can sit there and stare at the screen for 2 hours and nothing happens. And so that's a struggle that I have. And I think sometimes too, it's just the mindset of this has been hard before. Oh no, oh no, oh no, here comes the hard again. And then that makes it harder than it should be. There's some of that. I do know I probably need to pop into the power hours. I think I need to have some, I sometimes do better when I have a buddy sitting with me, even if they're not talking to me. But that's not always a possibility. And I also tend to, I think I've worked through some people pleasing tendencies where it's like, I'll put this aside and do the thing for the other person. Just because maybe that's more structured. And I talked with Christine about that last time. I've taken a little temp job and it's more structured. And so I've done better at not hemorrhaging my energy and just giving them the time that I'm working for them instead of worrying about it when I'm not at work.
When you're not at work.
At that job. But I don't know. So right now my issue is that I, in 2020, taught a very successful sold out masterclass at Leslie Cohen on London accents, and recently reached out to them again because they were just doing online classes and said, I'd like to try this again. But my hesitancy with that has been that an acting coach that I met invited me to sit in on her online class, and it went on for 4 hours, and I could not, like, I feel like I can maybe stretch it to 90 minutes, I'm just about done. But the class I taught at Leslie Cohen was 3 hours each week, and it was for 3 weeks. And at the end, the feedback I got from every single person was that they wished it had been a 4-week class, and I felt the same. So I'd like this to be 12 hours in the classroom. That's ideally how I'd like to structure my classes, but I just can't do 3 hours online. And so I've done a lot of one-on-one coaching during COVID, but I've been hesitant to do the group coaching just because I feel like my focus is a little bit crazy. I'm coaching a local theater production, and I was so thrilled to be able to work with people in person. Yeah. It just was such a huge difference to me. So
yeah,
that's where I am. I have been in contact with the people at Leslie Cohen, but I also feel like a flake because been several weeks and I haven't responded to the email, and I know in this business it's supposed to be, you know, respond right away, and I just feel like I'm just like I trying to figure out what I can offer because I don't know what my brain can do.
Yeah, okay, fabulous. No, really, genuinely fabulous. And do you go by Liz? Is Liz okay?
Liz or Elizabeth? Elizabeth, either one's fine. Yeah,
either one is okay. Okay. So, Liz, there were a few things that you said that I'd love for us to start with. The first thing was you said that you sometimes are able to laser focus, and sometimes you sit down and it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself, right? You got to do this, that 2 hours, it's just not there, right? It's just not there. And a part of what I feel is so significant for all of us, everybody, is recognizing and accepting that piece. So that one of the things I have learned so much from Christine is what benefit we get when we give ourselves space, when we feel like this and we give ourselves space. And to me, a part of the, I sit down and I'm laser focused, wonderful, great, right? That's that zone that you're in. And the other part is, and when I sit down and I'm not, that being okay, that actually being okay. And the reason I wanted to start there, Elizabeth, is because I believe it ties in strategically and mindset-wise to this question of how you are going to take your coaching, your workshops online, right? Because I might be someone, I'm not, but just because I might be someone who every time I sit down for my 2 hour work session, I can be there and in my 2 hour work session. And, you know, we hear all the things about deep work and all of that. Even if I were that person, right? Just because I'm that person, absolutely does not mean that that is the right way to be, right? And the tie I see is just because the colleague whose workshop you attended, who was doing 4 hours online, is the way that she or he is doing that, absolutely does not mean it is the right way to do it. I used to work with an acting coach who class would start at 6, and we were lucky if we were out of there by 1 a.m., right? There were people who loved that. This was, you know, this was work. This was really. And then there were those of us like me who were like, I actually have to function tomorrow. And this isn't like, I stopped functioning at about 9:30. That was basically it for me, right? And so part of what I love is the idea of you owning as a coach how you choose to be of service, how you choose to work with people. And just like we were just talking about with Regina, you get to define how you will do dialect coaching online. I was able to just spend a few minutes on your website prior to class. And clearly, you are exceptional at what you do. Clearly, you have a huge, huge, vast amounts of experience. You get to tell us how we get to work with you, right? You get to change it. You get to work with it. You get to acknowledge I love working in person. I love working in person. And to me, I want to be honest with you, there's something lost, but online. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do great things together.
Yeah.
But here is what I know. I'm now speaking for you, right? But I'm making it up, right? You can say, here's what I know. I know that I will not bring my best to you in these 3-hour online sessions. I know that what I have experienced as a coach, I feel that you will not be able to bring your best week after week in that schedule, right? So I work with a 90-minute model. And these are the ways that I have adjusted how we're all going to work. So, you know, do people get shorter periods of time? Again, I don't know based on what it is, how it is that you work with people. So that is a little bit of both what I'd like to query as to whether from a mindset frame, and this is only a piece of what I want us to be able to address today, but whether from a mindset frame, it frees you up a little bit in terms of how you design your class. What do you think about just these ideas in terms of how you move forward designing it?
I think it makes sense. Where I struggle is it took me a while to structure the classes that I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I was able to say, this is how much we cover. And then we get to a good stopping point for this week. And now I think some of it is a little bit of like, oh no, I have to reinvent the wheel. I have to go back and redo all of that and figure out where stopping points would be for online. And I also feel like if I cut it down to 90 minutes, would people do a twice a week class? Or would I need to stretch this out so that it's 8 weeks long? And then that feels like a long commitment. I don't know if I don't know. And so I guess I need to experiment with that a little bit. I'm not sure.
And one of the things that I would say about curriculum development, right, is I do feel that for many of us, curriculum development is something that is best done with another person.
Mm.
And so it's an interesting idea and something I'd love to throw out, because you spoke about creating some accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I wanted to say about that is that, again, just because there's a power hour from 1 to 3 on Tuesday, again, what I want you to have the grace for yourself is it doesn't mean that that 1 to 3 slot is going to end up being the perfect time for you to focus and mm-hmm. do, right? However, it absolutely could be a good practice to explore. I'm coming here for these 2 hours, and the high intensity me will work on this for 2 hours, and the not there during this has these other things that I will do my best to work through, and actually creating that, you know, trying out that structure for yourself. But what I'm curious about is if there isn't an actor, a voiceover, a couple, one or two people who would love to work with, I mean, where it would be such a gift to them, where you could set up structured time with them to make some adjustments mm-hmm. to how you might deliver the curriculum, and to see, 90, could you stretch it to two? What would that have to look like and energetically and breaks and right? Mm-hmm. What would that have to look like? Getting some feedback on where some places where you could end, and that you treat it like a project in which you have support and some active feedback. And again, that you give yourself the space to do it. Mm-hmm. Tied to that, let's look at this actual Leslie Kahn opportunity, right? I would again love for us to always, when it comes to our mindset about, did I freeze? Okay. About how things must be done, to consider what our story is around that, right? So absolutely, one of the things I'll paraphrase, but you said, you know, in this business and emails and you're supposed to respond, right? Right. And Elizabeth, I so get it, because I believed that was true forever. And I held myself to that in a way that there were times really nearly broke me. Right? It's not my personality. It's not how I'm able to bring my best to people. So I would put forth that that is something that is a paradigm, right? And it is absolutely not one that we must buy into. And that the consequences that we perceive of not buying into that are very often so not the case, right? Now, when it comes to this, it sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong, when you taught the workshop for Leslie in the past, it got a great response, right?
Mm-hmm. It sold out within hours of putting it up. So
So if I'm Leslie, right, and I can certainly put myself in her shoes, because I also, right, we want to have coaches in our arena who sell out in hours of it going up. You're responding to Leslie within days and putting it on the calendar, trust me, also because I know her to be someone who is up to big things, you're having some boundaries around your time and when you respond and how you have more than earned that by being as exceptional at what you do as you are, right? So again, I think space here. You reached out, you got a response that said, absolutely. It'd be shocking if you hadn't gotten such a response. You're now building some anxiety around the fact that a week went by and 2 weeks went by and 3 weeks went by. Okay. What I would love to suggest is a reply email that simply says, I'm thrilled that you're interested in us collaborating again. Part of my main focus at this moment, and you can a little bit of humor along with everything else, as I know you understand, but is really developing the online version in a way that will serve students as powerfully as their experience was in person, right? And then you have a couple choices here. So you can say, so I promise to be in touch over the next quarter, right? As I lock in the structure that I would be offering, right? Yeah. The other option, which I'm less a fan of, right? Because I know my response to what feels like pressure, and it sounds like we might be similar in that way, would be to say something along the lines of, how does a fourth quarter target sound to you? That kind of thing, right? And what that does is we have another whole almost 2 months in the second quarter. So what that does is it really gives you time to work out the workshop, right? And and to say then if we're going early fourth quarter, that you then have all of third quarter to also be marketing it. And, you know, doesn't sound like marketing is going to be an issue, right? But it just gives you some space. But also, Elizabeth, it gives you some space. Mm-hmm. So that to me, having the ability to work with people in person, which you already know how you do that, and also having the ability to work with them online, without question, it expands your business. It means that you can work with people across the globe. And not knowing what your vision for your business is, but it creates that possibility for you. But does it have to be done in a month or two? Is there a reason why you feel that it's important to have that ready sooner than I'm proposing?
Yes, partly. Well, there are a few things. I went on the Leslie Kahn website today and they're starting to do some in-person stuff. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. I have been in Utah during all of COVID. That's where my family is. So I'm wanting to transition back to being in LA by maybe in the fall. Okay. I did have someone contact me about a place that's available right now. And I just feel like I can't up and move right this second.
Yeah.
Space. So I'm looking at that with the space stuff. I love what you're saying about that. But I would like to teach the class. I've had people inquiring. I did the London Accents class. I've had multiple people contact me who were, I did this series of master classes at Leslie Kahn. And before that, I did just a 1 day free workshop to introduce myself. Mm-hmm. And half the people in that class were not from the US. And so I'd love to do a class on standard American, and I might split it out to be a class for native English speakers. Maybe you have a strong accent from England, Australia. Maybe you have a strong Southern or New York accent and you want to make it more, how do I just sound standard American, like I'm not from a particular region. And then it's a separate issue for people that are learning English as a second language that might speak with a foreign accent.
Yes.
So I'm trying to feel, I feel like I'm trying to do lots of things at once, which is take the London accent class and make it an online class, but also how do I create these other classes online as online classes? But I think first I need to create some sort of way to present that to the people at Leslie Kahn as something they'd want. But I've had multiple people from Leslie Kahn who are not either not native English speakers or they're from outside the US and they want to not sound like they're from Australia, but learn a standard American accent.
Right.
And so I think I'm just trying to do too many things at once. I don't need to plan all the curriculum before I give my ideas about class overview. I'm sometimes feel like I have a hard time prioritizing and sifting through all the information in my brain to say, what's the first step? Okay, now what's the next step? It just all feels like,
yes,
all right there. And I can't, and
yes.
And I've talked about this before. I mean, sometimes it feels like it's like this and I'm like, I'm trying to see, I need to pull it away. Look,
you need to pull back.
So yeah. I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it absolutely does. And I think, you know, this is where that feeling, I can so relate with that feeling that there are so many ideas and therefore it all just feels like it's closed in on us, and identifying the first step, to me, that is an extremely normal and natural part of entrepreneurship and being up to a lot of very big things. And then I think ADHD brings an added element to that piece, which is absolutely common. Does that make sense? Right? But then the ADHD brings an added element to what are going to be effective ways of managing that. I absolutely, from a coaching perspective, as I hear you talk about all of the things, the London accent class, but now taking that online, the standard American English accent for people who are not native American speakers, the fact that people are very interested in you offering workshops and offering workshops online, the how you propose it to the con folks, all of these are separate pieces. And I do think it's important to actually get them out of your brain in whatever way is generally helpful for you to do that, right? So for me, it definitely will be kind of separate pieces of paper and all of the things, right? Because I have to be able to see all of the things as separate in a way that they don't automatically separate in my brain. But then I think it is the question of saying, where would you like to start? Where would what feels like comes first? Based on what you've shared, it feels like the taking your very popular London accent class and making some decisions about how you're going to offer that online, it feels like that ranks high on the list of first. But then what I would be curious about with the non-native English speakers, I would be curious as to whether there might be a private offering. Again, I'm not super familiar with your business model, but whether there might be a small private offering that you would consider doing. And this is where our perfectionist things can come in, right? Mm-hmm. Because a big part of what I had to be forced, Elizabeth, and like literally colleagues dragging me kicking and screaming, was that my programs, the way to get them to where I wanted them to be, was to actually start offering them and not at what they might ultimately cost and look like. But I was so busy, like, we can't launch. I can't do this. It's got to be perfect. And I want all these elements. And it's sort of like, but how does it get perfect without some active feedback, right? And so I see Kate throwing in semi-privates. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's two or three people and they get to pay a price that, like, is so lucky, whatever that ends up being, but it's also where you are working that out. So it's creating some income while you are creating, then on top of the London Accents Online, the Leslie, I also have really seen a need for this. And I'd love, let me know, would you be interested in talking about me doing this as well? But how might you, and honestly, what we're saying here in terms of semi-privates, that is also how you could get the London online workshop available as well. So there's also the possibility that you, some of the interest you're getting right now, right, that you consider a very open and honest that this will be offered at this price, because a part of what I'm wanting is some feedback as we design the powerful online experience.
I've been doing private coaching online all through the pandemic, whether that's accents for a role, people that want to get rid of an accent or dialect or lessen it. And I have had a couple of people say, can you do semi-privates? Because I had one girl who I met through Leslie Kahn. She came to me, she was in Brazil. She said, I want to do semi-privates. I can't do the private coaching. I can't pay your rate.
Right.
And so she connected with a friend who was also an actor, and we scheduled it. They never paid. They never contacted. I got the idea that her friend was a little bit flaky.
Yes.
So maybe on my end, I need to be saying, I don't know. Do I pair people in small groups? Did they come to me with their own group? That's
no.
Where it's gotten to be a little bit tricky. Where I'm like, I'm willing to do this, but then one person is always more committed than the other person. And then that's really not fair for the committed person. It just feels a little bit weird.
My suggestion would be that you consider, have you ever offered workshops outside of like a Leslie Kahn? Have you ever done
it? I have. And last fall I sent, so on my website, I have a place you can put your email in and I'll send you info about workshops. I sent mass emails out twice and had nobody interested. And that's why I don't know what that was. I got messages that the emails had been opened. Mm-hmm. And I've talked a lot with Christine about using funnel people, like going to established studios and teaching through them, because then they take care of all the registration and the headaches. I've had people say, can I mail you a check? I don't want to pay online. And it's just a lot of that housekeeping administrative stuff. So that's been a little bit strange, because I haven't had the success with offering those workshops on my own. I have gone to some acting theater conferences and my classes have been the most popular class but it was already an established thing people were going to or were involved with. So that's where I feel like it's gotten to be tricky for me.
Yeah. So what I would say, and this is, you know, this is just a kind of strategic suggestion. You know that when you offer workshops for groups, they sell out and they sell out quickly. We know that. You have a track record already of doing that. You know that you would like to have some online offerings that, again, the goal, because it appears to work very, very well for you, the goal would be to have these offerings and to be able to take them to institutions, be able to take them to groups and let them do it. That's your business model. It's not, you're now taking on registrations for classes and things like that, okay? And you're in a position where what you would like to do is develop, it sounds to me like we have two workshops that you'd like to develop, right? And I'm sure there are others. It seems like there are others percolating, but like if we focus down, we say there are these two first, right? And tell me, stop me if I'm wrong. The London accents and the standard American for non-native speakers, right? Mm-hmm. Those would be like the two. So to me, now what you're looking at is that you have a few choices. One is to develop them by yourself, right? Develop them by yourself. It seems like that's not, we'd love a more powerful option than that, to at least explore what might serve you better in this phase of business development. So to me, another option, like next thing, would really be to basically recruit a kind of development assistant, and who there's a clear benefit to them of working with you in this way, right? Mm-hmm. So that to me, and this is one of the places that I think like Christine has a real genius in, when we are seeking people for support, whether it's paid support or whether there's some sort of, or whether we are hiring, that's sort of the same thing, whether we're hiring staff, adding to our team, or whether there's a partnership that's being sought. But it seems to me that there is some real possibility that there's a person who this could be a huge win-win, right? In terms of them working with you. But now it creates some structure, because it's like you have these sessions X number of times, once a week or twice a week or whatever. Okay, that's option two. To me, option three might be that what is the ideal number of people who would be in a live workshop with you? Not so, well, you don't really know this, but like an online workshop, what are you thinking would be the—
That's one of the things I was struggling with. So when I did the Leslie Kahn class, we ended up having 10, okay, which I had thought maybe we'd do more, but I actually loved having the 10. With online and it being shorter duration, I was thinking more like maybe 8 or 6.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Great. Great. So 8 was what was like in my head. And I was like, and 6 would be fabulous, right? 6 would be fabulous. So here's the question. Do I believe that if you did an exploration process, happy, so happy to go with 4 people, right? Mm. Willing maybe to go up to 8, but possibly 4 to 6, mm, right? And then what if you went to the kinds of partners that you've gone to in the past, offering, this is what I'm doing. It will start on this date. You put together the blurb. The cost for this is you decide, but think about what the cost is usually. And then what is like, really? I have the opportunity to do, right? And then what if you went to a few of these kinds of partners, allowing them to offer it to their audience? Very clear, she is not taking more than 6 people. Mm. At this price, trust me, folks, like, this is, you want, if you need help in this area, but you go to them, we decide very clearly how payment is going to be offered, and that's how it's offered, right? And if people are unable to, like, we just do the thing on your page that says, unfortunately, this is the only way I'm able to accept payment. Maybe it's PayPal, whatever. This is what's required to secure your spot. And that's just it. Mm-hmm. And if you got 3, wouldn't that be a great night? My first years ago, it's now 18, 19 years ago, Artist Prosperity Bootcamp. It was 10 weeks long. It was taught via teleseminar, like phone. We didn't see each other, right? I believe it had 8 people in it. 3 of which probably weren't paying anything at all, right? And each week that I met with them, that was my deadline for that week's curriculum, the creation of that week's curriculum. Mm-hmm. And that was how that boot camp that then ran for 6-7 years was structured, right? But I needed people to be able to then go home afterward. Well, I was home, but to be able to hang up the phone and say, that clearly wasn't landing. Nobody got that. How would I adjust it next time? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is that helpful, Liz?
It is. Yeah. I've just done this. I mean, I taught at a studio here in Utah for, I was part of it for 12 years and was the teaching assistant and then helping, like, just, I feel like I've done so much in person, and online I've done a lot of privates, but I think doing that experimenting will be a helpful thing.
Yeah. And you could decide, after all of this, I want to say, you could decide that's not the teacher I'm interested in being, an online workshop teacher. And that would also be okay. It's just, if you'd like to have the option, if you'd like to explore, is there an in-between for the people who aren't at a place to manage my privates? Is there a powerful in-between that I could do for six people at a time? If you decide that's worth exploring, I think these are ways you might consider exploring that.
Okay. Thanks. That's got my mind thinking about that and also in some other directions. So,
yeah. Well, keep bringing it back. If it's me for a little while, we'll keep working on this. And I hope that will be okay with you. Mm-hmm. And then obviously when Christine is able to be back, then she will keep diving into this with you. But if you don't mind, because I know I failed to do this with Regina, you also had a victory. And I know we're just at time, but if you have, I'll ask, do you have the time to share the victory?
Yeah. So I taught that class at Leslie Kahn in 2020, and one of the actors from that contacted me and said, I need a coaching session because I booked a series regular on a new Fox animated series using the accent that we worked on in the class. So he sent them three takes, all using this London accent stuff we worked on. And in that class, we worked on really three different accents for that are used in London, but well, four. Anyway, he was so excited, and we scheduled a time to meet so he could prep for the read through. And then at the last minute, they said, you booked using those auditions, but we're gonna have you use your regular American speech for the role. So he ended up canceling. I told him we could, you know, pay that forward to a future coaching session, which he said he definitely would use and was excited about that. But he booked the role because of what we worked on. And I feel like that's a huge win. Series regular. Yeah. So yeah, I'm excited.
It is an incredible win. It's an incredible win. Congratulations. And I just also feel like, again, I don't know what you have in terms of testimonials and mm-hmm. things like that, but all of this that we talked about with now, if you develop, again, this London accent and you develop it online, what better?
Yeah.
And for this, again, for this experiment development version, we're talking a simple one page and what I worked on in this workshop is what allowed me to book this. If you have the opportunity to work with Elizabeth, you want to take it. And then breaking down what it is you're seeking to do. I loved that win because I think tied to all of what you're considering, it so reinforces. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes. This is what you're supposed to be doing. So space, give yourself space. And then let's work on what support and processes help. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks
to everybody today. Thank you.
So welcome. Thank you, everyone, for bearing with me. My first cash flow coaching session. It has been, hello, June. It has been such a pleasure. I've really enjoyed diving into these two issues. And either I or Christine or Kate, we will see you next week for our next session. All right. Have a wonderful week, everyone.
Thank you, Miata.
You're so welcome. Bye, everyone. Bye, everybody.